The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
On Zoom. Here we go. Okay. So formally, hello and welcome to Happy Hour, dear Sangha. So for today's theme of practice, I'd like to invite us to engage with the fourth Brahmavihara today. The Brahmaviharas, the heavenly abodes, the four practices of the heart, metta being the first one where we spend a lot of time at Happy Hour working with metta, and all the three other ones also are different expressions of metta. They're not separate. The second being compassion, another expression of metta, when metta, kindness, meets suffering. The third one being mudita, or vicarious joy, when metta meets someone has really good fortune, either ourselves or someone else. Gladness arises, vicarious happiness. And the fourth one is equanimity. Equanimity, also thought of as the crown jewel of Buddhist practice, and it shows up in so many different ways, so many lists, and so many different flavors. The way it shows up on this list, on the Brahmaviharas, is practicing for ourselves, practicing for other beings. It shows up on other lists, such as the seven factors of awakening, etc., etc. But here it shows in this way, in the way of practicing with respect to ourselves, with respect to other living beings. So, and remember that equanimity is related to metta, is in the same family. So there is care in equanimity. It's not aloof. It's not, oh, okay, whatever. There's care. There is love in a sense of equanimity, in the sense of equipoise, holding what is. And the way I like to invite us to explore, of course, we've explored all the Brahmaviharas in so many different ways, creative ways, over the past year and a half now, on our online global sangha. But the way I like to invite us for today's practice is the following way. To consider, perhaps times, maybe right now, where there might be a friend, there might be a relative, there might be a loved one who's having perhaps a challenging time. And part of your instinct, perhaps caring for them, is to jump in and swoop in and just make it all better. Or maybe there's a sense of frustration, like, oh, why are you doing this to yourself? And can't you see? So there's so many different unwise responses that can come up here when there is lack of equanimity. Whereas what would equanimity look like perhaps in this particular case, in this particular instance, scenario? So appreciating, understanding the person's autonomy, really granting them autonomy, respecting their choices, caring, offering support, whatever support you can, but without both trying to step in and make it, you know, fix it all in your way, not respecting their journey, not respecting their choices, not respecting that this is their life. And in the traditional phrasing of the equanimity phrases, it is said that, you know, all beings have their own journey. They have and their happiness and unhappiness does not depend on my wishes for them. It's, you know, it's respecting their journey, and yet it's not aloof, it's not cold, it's not turning your heart away at all. There is care, there is love, there is holding witness and supporting, helping in any ways that are both helpful filled with love both for the person, for the friend, relative, and also for yourself. Remember, metta, equanimity, is 360. So if you're swooping in and just taking over and giving up your own responsibilities in life, it's not really filled with metta for yourself, care for yourself. So the wise question, wise consideration is, how can I support? How can I be present? How can I have metta, show care, love, compassion, both for this being in this situation, as well as for myself, as well as respecting their autonomy, respecting their journey, the choices they have made that have brought them to this place, and the choices they need to make, the lessons they need to make. And similarly for you, the choices you have made and the lessons you need to make. So how can you be present, loving, and also have a sense of 360-degree view of life, its ups, its downs, trials, tribulations, all of our choices, all the lessons that we have to learn as beings in our interrelationship. So that's plenty for setting the context today. So I'd like to invite you to let go now of all the words. There were too many words, too many concepts. Let it go. Let's land together. Let's practice together. Let's land in our bodies. Letting go of all the words. We're going to try on for size this practice. Just try it on. Even if there are but complaints and concerns, try it on for size and see what arises as you practice in your body, in your heart. So landing in the body. Landing. Feeling, sensing your feet, these feet rooted. Touching the earth, the contact points between the feet and the earth. Just tilling the soil. Just tilling the soil of mindfulness, awareness, one breath at a time, arriving, settling. Receiving each breath in the abdomen. The full in breath received. The full out breath received. Taking refuge in this moment, the simplicity of this body, this breath, this expansive moment, just here, putting down thoughts, just gently saying, not now, thank you, not now. I'm connecting with awareness. I'd like to invite you to imagine you're sitting on top of a mountain where you have 360-degree view all around. Just imagine you're sitting comfortably, feel your bottom, feel your feet, feel embodied. Feel embodied in the body. And also sense of spaciousness all around you. There's space all around you. As if you could see far into the horizon from all directions clearly. This imagined top of the mountain, let's take another few minutes to breathe, to settle with a sense of embodiment and spaciousness, embodiment and spaciousness. Now I'd like to invite you to imagine sitting on this high place, top of this mountain, seeing all around. As if you could see, as if you're looking into so many interrelated causes and conditions. Past and present. So many things have come to be because of so many causes and conditions. Now, as if you would invite this friend, relative, or someone in your orbit, choosing this being, the practice of equanimity, the practice for them. And if you're having a hard time choosing someone, or there is this sense of entanglement but wanting to keep equanimity, you can't come up with anyone, it's okay to choose yourself. I'll do the guidance for this other being, whatever being you've chosen. So seeing the circumstances, this being, life circumstances, seeing them, holding them with a sense of care, with metta, goodwill. You wish well for them. You want them to be safe and happy and healthy and have ease. And from this view, 360 view, far and wide, you can see that there are so many causes and conditions, so many beyond their control. Beyond your control. There are some choices they have made, but perhaps you also get to see so many cultural environmental, educational, family, genetics, systemic, zeitgeist, historical. And breathing, breathing, spaciousness. So many interconnections, so many interconnections, past and present. And the interconnection you have, the connection you have with this being is one of them. Is one of the very many infinite causes and conditions. It's not all up to you, just as it's not all up to them. They are doing the best they can and can you Except that you're doing the best you can. As much as you can with metta, both for them and for yourself. Don't start thinking, but just feel into it for a moment and see what might open up. Often our thinking mind cannot see beyond a particular way of being. Holding this being with care and spaciousness, acknowledging all the causes and conditions. Equanimity is not aloof. It neither pushes away nor falls into with grief. Has wisdom. Equanimity is the marriage of metta and wisdom. I'll offer a few phrases of equanimity. Maybe no phrases are needed. Just holding the space, spacious space, with metta, acknowledging that we, the two of us, are players in this big scheme called life, this mystery. Doing our best. Holding presence with metta. Here's one phrase. If you wish. All beings have their own journey. All beings have their own journey. May I accept the arising and passing of all things with equanimity and balance. Or I care for you. I care about you, but cannot keep you from suffering. I care for you, about you, but I cannot keep you from suffering. Or, I care about you, and I am not in control of the unfolding of events. I can't make it all better for you. I care about you, and I'm not in control of the unfolding of events. I can't make it all better for you. I can't make it all better. And I care about you. I'm not in control of the unfoldings. If the mind wanders, bringing the image of this being as clearly as possible into your mind's eye, connecting with them, connecting with the practice, and your metta, your care for them. And that not everything is within your control. I care about you. I care about you. And I'm not in control of the unfolding of all things. And for the last moments of this practice period, can we have equanimity, hold with spaciousness this period of practice, whether it was sleepy or distracted or whatever happened, acknowledging that there were so many causes and conditions. Maybe we didn't sleep enough last night. Maybe we're really upset earlier today. Maybe we're tired, we're sick. So many causes and conditions that go into the moment's experience. Having metta for ourselves. Metta for ourselves that we showed up. Letting go of any judgment. Acknowledging this period of practice was born of many causes and conditions. Our intention was just one of them. Appreciating our intention for wholesome cultivation, and dedicating, sharing the merit the goodness generated with all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere be happy. May all beings be free, including ourselves. Thank you. Thank you all for your practice. So, the practice of equanimity, it can be a little more nuanced or challenging or subtle compared to the other practices, hence it being the fourth of the Brahmaviharas. So, if your experience was nuanced or not quite sure, it's okay. It's all okay. You're practicing. So I'd love to open the space up now for any reflections, for any questions that have come up, any insights in your practice that out of generosity you're willing to share with the Sangha to support others' practice from a place of a gift. Oh, this is what I discovered. This is what was interesting. This is what was challenging. So, and if you type in chat, in the Zoom chat, if you type just to me privately, I will read the reflection, not your name, so it'll be private. If you send it to everyone, I'll read both reflection and your name. And you're welcome to raise your hand. Bill says, thank you for this. It was very timely for me as I have a friend going through difficulties. Ah, thank you, Bill. And Barbara, please. You're still muted.
Okay.
There. Perfect.
I thought this was a beautiful thing to meditate on, and that considering someone who's suffering and you want to jump in to fix it, so often comes up with parents and children, adult children, where you still want to fix it. So this is something to really meditate on. And how do you communicate the love and the boundary at the same time? Anyway, it's the potent thing to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Barbara. Yes. Very potent. Was there any other insights that came up for you? And you're welcome to unmute yourself. And if not, it's okay within this particular important relationship in your life. Yes, you're unmuted, Barbara. Oops. Yeah.
For me personally, no, it's just, it has come up a lot.
Yeah. Just appreciating that this is significant. This is challenging, and how
so
to be
many
wise.
Conditions that, you are not in control of, and you realize the other is not in control either, and that you just have to be kind to yourself and be kind to the other one, and yet realize you can't fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that, Barbara. Appreciating how important that. Yeah. That the wisdom, the metta and the wisdom, how can they both come together? And Patricia says, as a single parent, I should do this once a week at least. So thanks for bringing up what you brought up, Barbara. Yeah. So, Wayne, I see your hands. I'm going to pause and let others, because you shared last time. So just for pulling forward, pulling back, those who haven't shared in a while, I'd like to invite you to pull forward, please. Peggy says, it's advanced practice. Thank you. Jerry says, thanks. Very helpful, as I got email today that a very good friend, that she has 6 to 12 months to live with cancer. Oh, it has helped to see that each being is on their own journey. And that does not mean that you do not deeply care. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for that. Yeah. Any other reflections, especially if you haven't shared in a while, I'd love to hear from you. The Sangha would love to hear from you. And also, if it was challenging or problematic, something difficult came up, that's okay too. I'd love to. Let's bring it up. Let's be real. Just to say, in a meditation community, there's no such a thing as awkward silence. It's just silence. It's delicious silence. Don, please.
When you said use this as an opportunity to take refuge, I really appreciated that. It resonated with me. You said that at least once, maybe more. And it was challenging, equanimity. And for me, it was sort of meh. And I think part of it was like choosing the right person, and didn't make sense to choose me. And I wasn't sure like who to choose. And so then I just sort of devolved to sort of like this practicing loving kindness and sort of listening, and you know, I'll try it next time, and it's practice, and so I very much appreciate that. Yeah,
great, thank you, Don. Yeah, beautiful. I appreciate the ease with which you practice and you're sharing your report. Like, okay, good. Couldn't quite land on someone. You didn't, choosing yourself didn't seem appropriate. And just, okay, then I'll listen and I'll engage with metta and I'll engage later. I love that. That's yay for that practice report, which is beautiful. It's not, you know, the alternative, you know, so many unwise alternatives could be like, oh, I can't choose the right person. I'm a failure. I can't do this practice. This is terrible. I've been practicing for months and months and months and I can't do right. Right. Which, oh, sweetie, right. So to have compassion for that frame of mind also. And yet what I so appreciate in hearing what you're saying is like, well, it's not quite clicking, but yeah, I'll engage with metta. Yay. This is a period of practice. Fantastic. As I've haven't said this actually in a long time, but I used to repeat every time during happy hour that no matter what comes up during happy hour, as long as you engage with it with metta, yeah, you're doing the practice perfectly right. So Don, you're doing the practice perfectly right. You're engaging with metta with whatever came up. So thank you so much for sharing that and supporting the community to hear that, to really to hear that reflection. Thank you. So dear ones, it's time. The time has come. This is a time, and if I wait any later, we won't have enough time for the small groups. So the small groups, again, as always, we'll start with 15 seconds of metta, for ourselves, for each other, the community. And then sharing as much or as little as you like about your practice. What came up for you, what was interesting, what was challenging, and sharing it with equanimity. It's like this, so many causes and conditions for this practice. So the rooms are created, take care of yourselves and take care of each other, okay? All right, so here we go. Welcome back, everyone. The rooms are closed. And just have a couple of minutes for any reflections that might have come up, anything you realized, especially if you haven't spoken in the recent times, you're invited. Especially if you're new to Happy Hour, if you haven't spoken before. Mylene says, these sessions help to take refuge in the Sangha. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Eileen. Taking refuge in the Sangha. Ah, yay, indeed. Yes, and that ties also in with what Don was saying earlier, taking refuge. Diana, I am told you're raising your physical hand, which I can't see. Let's see. Diana, okay, there. Asking you to unmute, but now your camera is off also. Technical difficulties.
Okay. My question is, I can know these phrases and I've been getting some success with it internally, but I ponder what to say to a person socially after I've been sitting listening to all this and hearing these tortured lives. It just somehow seems odd to say, I care for you, or maybe I can say, give me a hug, or I can just.
Yeah, got it. And for sake of time, I think I think I got the gist of the question. Since it's 7 o'clock, I'll say this. So yes, this is not something that you're going to say externally. Like, you know, you're not going to say with someone, may you be safe, may you be happy. Like, it sounds so stilted, right? So all you need to do is to hold space, You need to hold a space internally for yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. Hold a space of care, with a hold a space of spaciousness for yourself and for the other person. And they will feel it. There's so much that we communicate without words, but with just the space that we hold. Thank you for that question, Diana. That was a really good one. Yeah, thank you. So, dear ones, we have come to the end of our time together. Thank you all for your practice, for aligning your actions with your intentions. May all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free, including ourselves. Thank you all.